Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I like that they just had to edit out that whole line. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan.
You know what they're trying to say, Jim.
I got a good idea. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and Craig Heist has his shirt tucked in, wearing a nice turtleneck. Good to see you, Heisty. Right now, it's time to get to the bet. What, Craig? I'm just reporting the facts. I think you look great. Time to get to the BetQL guest line. Sports betting has come to Maryland. Check them out at BetQL.com. Talk to our friend, Mr. Barry Svrluga from the Washington Post. Barry, what's going on, man? How you doing, bud?
Great, man. Hope you guys are doing well.
We're trying, man.
We are. We are doing well. I don't want to forget this, so I'm going to start with it, which is probably the last thing you think I'm going to ask you about. Cade Cavalli, the pitcher for the Nats that there's so much excitement about, blows out his elbow, has to get Tommy John. How big of a deal is that for this year's Nats team?
I think it's big, because my argument would be you want a reason to turn on the TV, you know, once every 5 nights. And you could argue that with Mackenzie Gore, the frontline prospect, pitching prospect they got in the Soto trade, and with Cavalli and with Josiah Gray, you get that, you know, 3 times every 5 nights, like something to be curious about. And so it's just, it's one less reason. This year is not about this season. It's about seasons to come. And now you know, a fifth of your future rotation, you learn nothing about this year. Tommy John is something people come back from. It's not a long-term issue. So he'll be back next year, but you just don't know. It's another piece. You don't know what you have. And that impacts, you know, how you view this season.
People come back, like, regularly from it, but sometimes it affects guys. You know, you don't know if they're going to go – like, some guys go up for some reason. I'm like, I don't know how the hell that happened.
Well, I mean, for one thing, it immediately puts him on – you know, let's go back to Steven Strasburg. It puts him on an innings limit for next year, so he's not building – up in his career. It's a step back that wipes out this whole season, but it also puts him on a pretty — this organization is very aggressive, and I guess you would say they're very conservative in how they bring pitchers back from Tommy John's surgery. They're very, very cautious with them. So, you know, what you wanted was 25 to 30 starts from Cavalli, 25, you know, really realistically, 25 from Cavalli, 25 from Gore, and somewhere between 25 and 30 from Gray. And now one of those is — that clock is completely turned back, and it's really not until 2025 when you'll know what he's like fully unleashed.
All right, now we're going to get to the stuff you expected us to talk about. We're going
gotcha.
I just didn't want to forget, and I feel like the Cavalli stuff was important enough for us to make mention. I'm talking with Barry Svrluga. Very few people can talk about the variety of topics like you can, but with the real depth of knowledge. And so I'm going to turn to you about March Madness. It was an awesome first weekend. You got two number one seeds went down. You had Purdue went down in the first round. Kansas went down in the second round. UVA lost. You had a two seed lose. Princeton's just knocking people out. I mean,
knocking them out.
It was a blast. Arizona's out. Joe Biden's bracket, he had Arizona beating UVA in the Elite Eight and Arizona winning the title. How funny is that?
Pretty funny. So I was in Birmingham for a little Terps, first Terps WVU, which was a good win. And obviously, Maryland, Alabama, and there was just Alabama is really, really, really impressive. And obviously, they've got
they're a freight train.
A really strange situation with their best player, who you know drove a car with a gun in the back seat that ended up being used in a murder, and that just feels very, very weird. But from a basketball standpoint, I mean, I got to see him up close in person, and I, you know, that when you're out of sight, you miss watching, you know, flipping around the channels and watching the other games that day. But I don't see a better team out there than them. They just got like, I mean, I was sitting with a coach at courtside during their first round game, and this coach said, like, geez, they're like Noah's Ark. They've got two of everything. Like, it's just totally true. And I was like, dude, I'm stealing that line for sure. So they're super impressive. I think the Princeton story is awesome. It's like last year it was St. Peter's from New Jersey that got through, which is like the rough and tumble commuter school. This year it's Princeton, the like hoity-toity Ivy. That'll be a fun story. It's a Sweet 16 that does not have North Carolina, Duke, Kansas, or Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Since this tournament began, you know, having something that became the Sweet 16 in the mid 70s, there have been only 3 years when those four schools weren't in the Sweet 16. So I think it was a great weekend of college basketball, and it there's some really interesting matchups to come.
When you look at the different, like, I guess, like postseasons, and you look at the Final Four, is anything more exciting than that in the first 2 days? Well, first weekend, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I love it just because of it's like, I mean, the three of us like watching golf, right? And one of the things I love about watching golf is like, it's on all day. Like you can come in and come out. And that's what
totally.
Those Thursday and Friday feels like. It's like, no matter what time of day it is, and to deep in the night, you're going to flip on the TV and find something that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And so that it's just like from a wall to wall standpoint, sign me up, please. Yeah, absolutely.
Even last night, because there were like three games last night and I kind of timed it right that my wife and I were able to watch like a show. And then I was able to come back for the end of what game was pretty good last night.
The Gonzaga TCU game.
Yeah, well, no, that was late. I was in bed by that. That is one of the most miraculous covers of all time. As speaking as somebody that had TCU plus, I think it was 4. Have you seen the end of that, B?
No, I did not see the end of that.
Dude, so Gonzaga hits a free throw to go up 6 with less than a second left. There was 0.7 seconds left. They're up 6. The game's over. The guys are kind of walking off the floor. The coaches are shaking hands. They roll the ball inbounds, gets to about half court. TCU dude picks it up, chucks it, makes the 3. TCU covers.
Wow. Well,
it was unbelievable.
Bama, in their first round game, the 116 game, they were playing Texas A&M Corpus Christi.
Yep.
And the exact same thing happened. It was, I don't remember what the spread was. It was like 22
or whatever.
It was like
21.5. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and the kid is like, nobody is playing basketball anymore. The A&M Corpus Christi kid, I keep calling him Corpus Crispy. Corpus Crispy.
I made the same mistake.
I kind of want to be Corpus Crispy. anyway, the kid like chucks it up there and it, you know, swishes through and the entire, you know, betting community flips.
Right.
So it's another reason to love March Madness, Brian, right? Because every game, every play means something to somebody somewhere.
You got
to
watch it all the way to the end.
Brian, a friend of ours named AD was on the wrong side of that Corpus Christy three-pointer at the end.
Ouch.
Staying in college hoops, but going a little local, what do you make of Georgetown getting Ed Cooley? It looks like it's close to done anyway.
Yeah, that was the name. I think the two names that were most prominent for that job were Ed Cooley, who obviously has tremendous familiarity with the Big East and has had success in the Big East, and really, really revered John Thompson Jr., apparently. And the other one was Micah Shrewsbury from Penn State, who did a really good job in 2 years at a school where basketball is not a priority, but really has more ties to the Midwest. He was assistant to Brad Stevens at Butler for a long time. He went to the Celtics to be an assistant there. He grew up in Indiana. So he it seems like, was more teed up for the Notre Dame job. Now, he hasn't gotten that yet, but that's what the speculation in the coaching community is going to be. I think that Georgetown, whether it's Ed Cooley or Red Auerbach, is a very, very difficult job right now. It is the brand. It is a national brand, but it is really hollow underneath that. It's been a long time since they've had success. They fired the son of the legendary Hall of Fame coach to bring in the best player in program history, who it still stuns me that he was there for 6 years. Patrick Ewing was there for 6 years.
Wow.
That included going 0-20 in the Big East in his fifth year, and I think 2-18 this season. It's, you know, the glory days. It's almost like with the Commanders, like, you know, people are, you know, they remember Riggo and Dexter Manley and all that's, you know, everybody that, you know, JP, you grew up rooting for, and Brian, people that you played with, and all that kind of stuff. But that doesn't matter to today's kids. Like
right.
Yeah. Allen Iverson, like, he's a hero from yesteryear, but it's like, it's kind of ancient history. And so you've got this program that would love to draw on its history. It drew on its history in its last two coaching hires and JT Jr.'s son and the best player in the history of the program in Ewing. It's run it into the ground. It's got an off-campus arena that's way too big for a, you know, small Jesuit school that's private. It just, there's a lot of, it's a hard, hard job for Ed Cooley or anybody, I think, at this point.
I just like to point out that Barry's got me a little older than I am, if he thinks I watched Riggo, but I appreciate the sentiment nonetheless.
You're not that old, that young. You could have watched
him. Riggo, dude.
Why not? What year were you born?
81.
And what was it last year?
85? I don't know. I never saw him. I know him now.
Barry, he is old, though.
he's old.
JP's old, old, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. You like to think you get that Georgetown thing going, but in the arms race that is college sports, their lack of like a real back, like a real practice facility, like some of these programs have built, that's massive.
That one they have. Like that, I've been to that facility. Like, they've got separate gyms for the women and the men.
Okay.
They've wedged it into that. Like, I was going to say the one
they
thing
built
they
a new
have,
facility.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one, and it's got the. But the thing is, it's got the statue, this massive statue of John Thompson
Jr.
John, who,
right.
Brian, you know, like he was an imposing figure.
Oh yeah.
In real life, that statue, when you go there, you're kind of like, wow, he still kind of looms over this whole program. He's like looms over the whole thing. So, I do like the fact that they kind of went outside the quote family. Like, they didn't try to make another Georgetown hire. It's a little bit more of a clean break, and we'll see. I mean, Ed Cooley is really well respected among other coaches. Providence is a difficult job as well. There's obviously kids to recruit from around here. We'll see how it goes. It can't get worse.
I have a high – we're going to get to the Commanders. I got another D.C. college that needs a coach, and I got the answer. You ready?
Go.
Jimmy Patsos to American.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Get on board. It's a movement.
Yeah.
Barry, you just messed us up, man. You know, he said that the other day, and now you agreeing with him. Oh, we won't hear the end of this.
We'll all go to a game. What else is going to get all of us to go to a game at AU? Patsos.
I would go. Jimmy was an assistant on the Gary Williams teams that I covered at Maryland. So, and JP, you can say you're old or not. That was 2000.
I was there for those. I was definitely there for those.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah,
Jimmy's an all-timer.
He's so funny. So funny. And we actually grew up in the same hometown in Massachusetts, so I got a lot of love for Jimmy Patsos.
Oh, cool.
Well, that's funny. That's a small world. All right, let's get to the elephant in the room, Commanders. Over the weekend, a lot of speculation, some baseless Twitter stuff, but sure seems like this thing's getting close to the finish line. You got a feel on this? What are your expectations for the sale?
Well, I mean, somebody I know tweeted that it's like first and goal or something like that.
It is first and goal.
Yeah.
So I don't have as much of a feel as you do. I haven't been as involved in the reporting on this as I have been on the Nats sale, but I think and I may have said this here before, I am like, if I have to make a wager in Vegas on a binary equation, like are the Commanders going to be sold or is Dan Snyder going to hold on them? I would put the bet on they're going to be sold, but I think we've all been just kind of beaten into submission into being pessimistic or skeptical any like major awesome development with this franchise, because for 20 years, like for 20 something years, the awesome developments have either been non-existent or very short lived. So you're almost like conditioned to be disappointed. So do I expect it to happen? I do. Will I fully believe it and buy in before the ink is dry on the papers? I won't.
Yeah. I think most people are in that sense, but I am starting to lean a little bit. You know, if I was on like a little balance beam, I think the beam is leaning toward deal being done.
People have joked about this, but like, you know, what time will the parade be if and when that gets done? Like, there's not we know what the biggest occurrences in DC sports have been over the last, you know, in the 2000s, since the turn of the century. It's the Caps winning the Cup in 18. It's the Nationals winning the World Series in 2019. It's baseball returning after a 33-year absence in 2005. If the Commanders are sold to somebody who's not Dan Snyder, I think you could make an argument that trumps them all, because there's nothing the franchise has eroded to such a degree that it's lost its standing in town and it can't get it back until and unless there's an ownership change. There would just be such a feeling of hope and possibility and all these emotions that are not normally associated with this franchise, which has been defined by chaos and limits and unrealized potential for so long, that it's hard to overstate what a momentous change that would be.
I totally agree. And it's not to diminish at all how incredible the Caps Cup was or the Nats winning the series, but you know, you talked earlier about how Georgetown's success is largely ancient history. And I think to myself often how I still identify with the ACC for Maryland. And that was so long ago that college kids probably have no idea Maryland was ever in the ACC. You know, the Commanders' success, one, happened under a different team name. Two, happened at a different stadium that is now being torn down just for decay.
Yeah.
And the real success, like the actual rings and playoffs, most of that was 30 to 40 years ago. It's just a lifetime ago.
Well, if we're talking about ages, like, so I'm whatever it is, 10 or 11 years older than you are. My college friends who grew up in D.C. that I'm still friends with now, they would have been right in the wheelhouse of winning those Super Bowls in the, you know, essentially from 81 to 91, right? That you would be, I would have been 11 to 21, which to me is like almost peak sports fan, because sure, when you're 11 or 12, you know the game enough, you can stay up and watch the games, you're getting excited to go to them. And then, you know, you're getting to college, you're like still doing that, but now you can get a beer, like blah, blah, blah. Right. My friends that grew up here, you know, they went to RFK and when the stands bounced and all that stuff that Brian, you would be familiar with from the field level, you know, that is their experience, that just like loving the franchise. And now their kids are they've grown up in this just abyss. And most of them, you know, could not be convinced to be a mm-hmm. Redskins football team or Commanders fan, because there was nothing to, you know, aside from the RG3 like kind of rocket ship year in 2012. Like what do you have to hang your hat on? And it's not only like not a romantic cool place to go to a game, it's an actively bad place to go to a game. So, you know, these my buddies over the years are just like, well, you know, I mean, my kid's now 12 or 14 or whatever, and he's not a Commanders fan. He's like
a Mahomes fan or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. A Packers fan because I love Aaron Rodgers or whatever it is, you know?
And I think sports fandom is changing. Like, it's in the process of changing between fantasy and betting and daily fantasy. And when I was a kid, I mean, your publication, the Washington Post, I religiously, every day, read that sports section. To the point where on Sundays, my dad would make me read the other sections. He's like, you got to read more than the sports. I mean, I lived and breathed this stuff. Nowadays, kids are just on their phone, and whoever their favorite athlete is, say they like Joe Burrow or they like Saquon or whoever it is, they're just watching their highlights on Instagram. Like,
all day.
It's completely different.
Well, I mean, I'd also say, and I don't, you know, I'm not just going to pound my fist on the table and be an angry old man, but just like, a kid in my neighborhood is a huge sports fan, hang out at the dog park, you know, every Monday, talking about his fantasy team and, who did well, how'd you do in your game, et cetera, et cetera. And I will say occasionally, like, oh, you had Austin Eckler, like, he had a big game. Like, the Chargers came back and won that game, right? And he's like, I have no earthly idea whether the Chargers won or lost. I know that Austin Eckler had, like, 90 points for me or whatever.
And that's
it is.
All
like,
they care about.
Yes, and it's a different prism, and it doesn't make it wrong. I'm not going to, tell him, no, you have to, like, sit down and watch this Eagles-Cowboys game that's for first place in the NFC East because you should care about who leads the NFC East. But it is way, way, way different.
Oh, it's different. I just think, like, and in certain areas, because, like, you talk about people not remembering the Super Bowl years. How long has the Browns been from a game?
It's a great point.
But you look at their fandom is different than here. I think it's more than just the sports. It's the way things change and how that off the field stuff started happening with fans that kind of pushed them farther away.
Agreed.
1,000%. 1,000%.
It didn't really feel like it went sideways till like 2018, 2019.
I don't know. I feel like...
Maybe it was earlier. Because Beep pointed out that they started pulling out the seats, too.
Yeah, they started changing up the seats, so you didn't know how many people were in the stands.
For sure, for sure. And then, whatever they finally admitted, it was when Brian LaFemina was here. It's like, I remember sitting down with him.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They got rid of the fake wait list for season tickets, and he said, my understanding on how to run a business is if you have something for sale, let people know that it's for sale. Like, that's the kind of stuff that just, like, drip, drip, drip. It's like water torture over the years that, like, we could sit here for hours and talk about all the off-the-field missteps they've made that don't even begin to get to the football stuff. And, I'm sure I've said this here before. Like, it is important and interesting to talk about, is re-signing Deron Payne a good move or whatever off-season moves they make in any given off-season. Like, that's important for that year's roster. But there's nothing more important for this franchise. There are two issues that have dogged it for the entire century, and that is we don't have a quarterback and Dan Snyder is the owner. It kind of should be a shadow over everything, and the Snyder shadow is even bigger and longer and more all-encompassing than the quarterback issue, which is the biggest issue on the field. So if you could solve that, the issue that has defined the franchise for, almost a quarter of a century, the whole thing pivots, or at least has the potential to pivot in a way that it hasn't before.
There's a saying in music that when you hear a song for the first time, if it sounds like something you've heard for a million times over the years, that's how you know it's going to be a smash. When you talk to Barry Svrluga, it feels like you could talk for hours and hours and hours and never even have a lull in the conversation.
There you go.
That's a sign of a really, really smart dude. Thank you for the time,
great stuff,
man. Baby. Appreciate it, Barry.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
That's our guy, Barry Svrluga. Give him a follow at Barry Svrluga, Svrluga. Commander Sale, first a goal. Don't go anywhere.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last.
Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Imagine trying to say that to somebody like, hey, what do you see in my eyes? Oh, I see the cult of personality. Pretty bizarre, right? Oh. Ching. Brian, I thought of something.
Yeah.
You know what would be really helpful for the city, for the city's psyche?
What would be?
A good start for the Nats.
Oh, yeah.
I just did a quick search, and, you know, I pay fairly close attention to the Caps and the Wiz. If the season ends today, and it doesn't, but it's not that far away.
Mm-hmm.
If the season ended today, how much playoff basketball and hockey you think we'd get to watch?
None.
The Caps are kind of close. Kind of. So the Caps for the wild card spot are in fourth, but unfortunately only two teams make it.
Hmm.
The Islanders have 80 points. The damn Penguins have 78 points. Panthers at 77, and then the Caps at 73.
Okay.
You got to be top two to get in there. The Wiz, the other part with the Caps is they've lost two in a row. I was at their last win, which was last Wednesday, against the Sabres. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The Wiz had a tough weekend. The Wiz have now lost two in a row. They're 3-7 in their last 10. In the NBA, I mean, you really got to struggle to not make at least the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
Lanville, I believe the play-in tournament is 7 through 10, right? 7 plays 10 and 8 plays 9, something like that.
That's a weird little way they do all that stuff, man.
Right now, they're 12th. Now, it's very bunched up at the bottom. Like, the 10th team is the last team that gets in. That's the Bulls. The Bulls are 33 and 37, whereas the Wiz are 32 and 39. But it's not great, dude.
Mm.
So, it'd be a great time for the Nats to have a hot start. That's all I'm going to say. So
we'll take it.
Well, a month from now, we're probably talking NFL draft. After that, Landini?
We have to figure something out, Jay.
So I couldn't help but notice this. When we were talking with Sraluga, we were talking about kind of some of the ancient history of teams in our area that have had really good championship teams and runs. And I think, you know, Georgetown was awesome in the 80s with Patrick Ewing. And then Georgetown had a good resurgence. When I was a kid, Alonzo Mourning was playing there, and then they had Iverson. But it's been quiet for the Hoyas. The Skins were one of the best franchises in football in the 80s and 90s, but still maintained an important, prominent perch in the NFL a long time.
Yeah, and even that was into the 2000s. They still had that.
Totally. Now, I got this tweet from James Schneider, and I've talked about this before. This dude, James Schneider, says his 7-year-old son had friends over to play football yesterday, and out of a dozen kids, only two were Commanders fans. His son's birthday cake had pictures of Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase on it.
But that's like what Barry was talking about. Today, most kids, I don't care how young or old, they care about individuals and how well the individual is doing, not necessarily the team. And I don't think that's just something that happens here in D.C.
Totally. I think fandom is changing.
Tremendously.
I think in, you know, whatever. I think if you're under 20 years old, you're probably not going to be a sports fan like I grew up. Like a lot of us grew up where either you root for the hometown teams or you just root for a team. I think in the NBA you already see this more and more where people are just like, oh, I'm a LeBron fan or, oh, I'm a Giannis fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it's kind of like what society has gone to, Jay.
Jeff, I mean, how many of your friends are legit one-team fans versus like, oh, I'm a Saquon Barkley fan or whatever? You're the youngest guy here.
Well, all of my friends have second teams. That's just kind of where it is for us.
In the NFL?
Yeah, in the NFL.
Do you think it would be – first off, are all your friends even Skins Commanders fans?
I have a majority Skins fans, Commanders fans.
Do you think if they weren't bad over the last 10 years, the second team thing would be a real thing?
No, it wouldn't. If they was just good, it's just we haven't had anything really to cheer for.
But think about it. When you were younger and I was younger, your team doesn't play well, you keep cheering for them. You keep pulling for them. When you got cut from a team, you kept trying to play on that team. Today, kids jump quickly. I'm not getting playing time, I'm going somewhere else. My team not winning, I'm going to cheer for the winning team. That's the way society has changed.
Dude, my buddy was telling me this. This is young kids, like third grade. Obviously, lacrosse in our area is a big deal.
Yeah.
And so there's youth sports organizations running fairly high-level sporting events like at young ages, second, third grade. And the boys' lacrosse apparently is so competitive that one coach like left one organization, started a new organization, and recruited half the team to go with them. And now they're like big-time rivals for 8-year-olds.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing here?
But it happens that way. I just think, look, adults can't sit here and blame the kids because we've allowed the BS that goes on. Okay? What do we do as adults? Our kid is not getting playing time, and you know your kid can't play to the level to get on the field yet.
Right.
What do? Oh, we going to the other friend, and then they become the team mom and all their dad, all this crap, just to go because you want your kid on the field. Then he gets on the field and he gets his ass kicked. And then he don't like the sport anymore. How about you let him grow at the level he wants to grow? But so everybody think their kid is the best out there, and that ain't the truth. Believe me.
Brian, speaking of youth sports, mm-hmm. I do need to warn the people, the listeners.
Of what?
I believe, not confirmed, haven't signed a contract, no pen to paper. But I believe I will be back coaching, assistant coaching, first grade soccer this spring.
Oh, Lord.
All I'm saying is we were undefeated at games with which I attended last year.
So in other words, see, you got to be careful with that, man, because the other coach is listening and saying, oh, he's telling everybody I can't coach.
Well, I told you about the game at the end of the year. Got a little chippy.
He got
I'm looking at you, Catholic school on Old Georgetown Road, right by the Beltway. Not naming names. Got a little chippy. Tell that coach, take the whistle off. It's first grade. You don't need a whistle, coach. Got to make some bet. Ah, how about this? My guy Troy Macker is very wired into Georgetown. Can confirm Ed Cooley to Georgetown is a done deal. First non-Hoya or Thompson to roam the sidelines for Georgetown since 1972.
Wow.
Big moves for the Hoyas. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. When we come back, we'll be making some bets. You know what time it is.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The tournament is heating up, and there's no better place to get in on action than FanDuel, America's number one sports book. That's because right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bet if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/Brian and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the nets. A lot of the teams are no longer there. You just open up the app. You go to the app, and you can pick some of the already ready-made options that you have there. You don't have to be an expert to try it out. You just go on it, check it out. You see something you like, boom, make the bet. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/Brian to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook is official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old, present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLE.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Seven, the Fan. Jeff's back. We were all worried. He's made it. I'm proud of him.
Yeah. Still weird.
Always. Here's what we can tell you. We started our program at 10 a.m. We're going to end our program in about 3 minutes, give or take. Mm-hmm. The Commanders have not been sold in that period. Yeah. Maybe they'll get sold while Grant and Danny are on. They're coming up next. Here's what we do at the end of every program. We make bets. We call it Heard It Here First.
Heard It Here First on B. Mitch and Finley.
And don't forget, you heard it here first.
All right, Jeffrey, you're back. You can't really speak, but are you prepared? Who's my man? Toby? Toby sat in last week. Jeff? I don't say this often. Toby was incapable of keeping track of Heard It Here First. So whatever your system is with the random piece of paper you shove in your pocket and hope to wake up with the next day, it was better than Toby's system.
It worked, man. Simple, sweet.
Sweet?
Simple and sweet, bro.
Definitely simple. I don't know that writing things on a piece of paper is sweet, but whatever. Anybody got a pick for tonight?
Yes. I'm taking Mexico plus 2.5 against Japan in the World Baseball Classic.
All right, nice. I'm guessing Brian's not ready, so if anybody is, fire away.
I'm taking Japan minus 2.5.
I was about to say that. Mark that. Ooh. He said, ooh.
So it's just me?
Yeah, you sitting up here throwing everybody's name out there. They're not ready. Hell, you're not ready.
I am between two games. I'm either taking the Rockets at home plus 10.5 or the Jazz at home plus 6.5.
I think take the Jazz.
The Rockets have been quite bad when I've tried to pick them, so I'm going with the Jazz. Okay. I don't know that I've ever taken the Jazz in her first.
You should take the Jazz.
Jazz plus 6.5 at home, Lanville. Does that add up to you? I'll say this. You can be a hater on this if you want, but I have a pretty proven and well-documented track record of picking NFL games quite well. I'm good at that. I make money picking NFL games.
Uh-huh.
March Madness, whole different beast, dude.
March Madness got a lot of people.
I mean.
Only one person I know is still on the up and up. That's old boy Greg.
Yeah, Greg was hitting the parlays. Although I don't think he has to drive out to MGM today based on what I got from him texting yesterday. Yesterday was the first day I strung together a few winners. We're back to even on the tournament. We got 4 days to study the tape, figure out who we're betting on this weekend. Fewer games might help.
Yeah, you get confused with all
fewer games.
Fewer games
might hurt, too. But, man, that first weekend of March Madness was fun.
It was fun.
Thank you to all of our guests today. Thank you to Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. I tell you what, the two things Mary Kay told us about Jacoby Brissett, folks should be excited for him as a dude in the locker room.
Yeah, I agree.
Mike Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch, and, of course, Barry Svrluga from the Washington Post. Thank you to everybody that listened. Thank you to everybody that called. Grant and Danny coming your way next. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.